This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and thank you very much for downloading the Scotland Outdoors podcast. I'm Mark Stephen, he's Ewan McElroy.
Yeah, a bit of a special podcast this week, not that they're all special, but you had a kind of in-depth look at getting young folk into farming and the future of farming, and it was just a bit of an eye-opener.
Getting land, just about any country in the world, is often very difficult. Getting into farming is very difficult. And to be honest, at the moment, what with the political situation, there are so many question marks. Is now the ideal time to be getting into farming? What sort of future, if you were getting into farming, would somebody actually face?
Yeah, well, I think there are, actually, as you've been finding out, because farming, regardless of the problems of Brexit, the uncertainty of the world situation, farming can be a really good way of life. But the model that we have had in the past, I would suggest, needs to change to get young people in. It's a different world. It's a different environment.
Well, the Farm Advisory Service, for the last umpteen years, have been holding, basically, it's an annual conference called New Entrance to Farming. This year, it was at Perth Racecourse. Big turnout. There was over 100 people there. I turned out of two, obviously. There was a range of speakers giving advice and real inspiration to those who want to make farming their career. I would say one of the real stars of the show was a lady called Jenny McKerr.
Remember your impact on others. There's always a legacy. People say, do you want your daughters to take on the farm? And, you know, what are you doing it for? I says, I'm doing it because we enjoy doing it. I think that's when you know you're doing the right thing, is find what makes you happy and do more of it. And for us, having our livestock enterprises, and making the gin on the farm and creating this, you know, farm for the girls to do what they want with in the future, that makes us happy. That's what we've done so far. Thank you.
My name's Jenny McKerr and I'm a gin farmer at Forth Mains Farm in Climpie, a little village just in South Lanarkshire.
A gin farmer?
Yeah, if you can choose your job title, why not? We are beef and sheep, so we've got a small herd of cattle and a small flock of sheep, but we also make gin on the farm as well, so a bit of everything, to be honest.
How many varieties of gin are you actually making?
So our main gin, we've got Drover's Gin, and I suppose what makes us different is we take the whole landscape of Scotland food and drink into account. So as beef and sheep farmers, we want to produce gin that complements the food side of things as well. So we make our Drover's Gin, we've got Clydesdale Gin, and we've also got about 48 different flavours of gin liqueurs, so it keeps us busy.
And different strengths?
Different strengths, of course we do a farmer strength gin, it's good at the lambing time, it's 57%. So I would sell plenty of that at lambing. It keeps you warm. I always say if you're going to the rugby, put that in a hip flask and you'll be fine, so it's grand.
The reason I wanted to speak to you is this is obviously a bit new entrance into farming. You didn't have a farming background at all.
No, I mean, I'm from Paisley, and I went to Auchincrew when I was 18 and never thought I'd have a farm. I had a 13-year career in the beef industry, so managing abattoir, cutting plant and beef operations. And I loved it, and I got a real passion for food and drink by being in that sector. And it was always a bit of a dream, you know, if we get a chance to get somewhere, we'll do that. And we actually bought the farm by accident just coming 4 years ago now.
How do you buy a farm by accident?
I think you just, you know, you don't live in regret. And I think if you don't put yourself out there and have a go at things, you'll never know. So we put an offer in for it, and then we worried about how we'd work that one out later on. So our offer got accepted, and then it was kind of everything, foot to the gas there, from there on. That was it.
I mean, how did you get past the very obvious hurdle of walking up to a bank and saying, I need to borrow X amount of money, and by the way, I've never run a firm?
Yeah, we sold two houses, so we had two properties to sell. So we sold two houses, made ourselves homeless, and basically swapped our houses for the land. So we had to start from scratch again. You know, it wasn't one of these, you know, you just get the finance and everything else. It was, we're a very supportive bank that we worked with, and I suppose it's having a sound business case that this is what we want to do, and people start buying into what you want to do because you're so passionate about it. There's no way it's going to fail.
Hi, my name's Jocelyn Tweddle. I've grown up on a farm whole life and wanting to take over it in the future.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Stratford. I've just recently been introduced to farming by my boyfriend, and I'm currently studying agriculture at Edinburgh.
See, that's interesting. So you theoretically are on the track already. You know, you're in the family business, you could take that. You're not.
No.
I mean, are the challenges very different for the pair of you?
The way that agriculture's going, I think there's a lot of challenges even if you are in farming, because as well now there are a lot of different opportunities that you can go into, like diversification, and I think it's important that you learn about different routes that you can make business, and rather than just sticking with the livestock sector.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty hard from being on the outside to get in. Sometimes I feel a bit like a stranger to the industry, but yeah, there's definitely very encouraging ways to get into the industry, definitely.
What are you both hoping to get out of today?
Just see, like, new ways and how other people have got into farming and, like, how they've managed to do it.
Nick, some good ideas.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how, like, people come up with the ideas and, like, how they're inspired and where they get all of this new information from. So that's very interesting to hear about.
You both just heard Jenny from the wee farm there. What did you make of her?
Yeah, I think it's like amazing what she's done. It's really like inspiring me to think about what to do and how to make things work and how to actually make it happen.
Budding farmers Jocelyn Tweddle and Charlotte Trapford there. And initially we heard from Jenny McCare, the wee farm distillery. I spoke to Jenny, well, when I finished interviewing Jenny, I said, you know, occasionally we do half hours with folk.
Yeah, just go back and have a chat.
We need to come down and have a detailed chat with you because the story really is extraordinary.
Yeah, but I think we'd do the 57% gin at the end of it.
You reckon?
I think so.
Might be a completely different interview if we did it at the beginning.
Could be a bit messy, but great to see the enthusiasm. You know what? You regularly hear stories about gloom and doom in farming. Mm-hmm. It is a fantastic way of life.
Yes.
And you know, it's a great thing to do. And it was interesting to hear folk talking about diversification. Because I had 4 hours at Stornoway Airport yesterday, mm-hmm. and I sat and watched the Farming Diversification Awards of the Year mm-hmm. down in London. Mm-hmm. And they had three folk in different farms, family farms, looking at the diversification, and it was all to chat a bit more about it later. But it's something I wouldn't normally watch, but it was fascinating seeing the way that farmers are having to diversify, and lots of them doing it different ways. If you get a chance to see it online, it's worth a wee look.
Well, James McKissick-Leach is a policy officer with the Scottish Land Commission. They have just published a report looking into the feasibility of something called farm incubator schemes as a way of getting new entrants into the industry.
Incubators are one of the things that the Land Commission has been looking at as a potential method, a potential tool for getting more people into the industry and indeed helping progressing farmers build their businesses, particularly with a look towards post-Brexit support, whatever that might look like, and of course climate change, which is going to be with us regardless of what happens. Part of our inspiration has been drawn from the French system. So farm incubators in France have been running for the last few years, for about a decade or so, and they've seen massive growth there. Similarly, in the United States as well, there are farm incubator models. And of course, business incubation in a more general sense is widely used in other sectors of the economy, particularly in tech and in software and in life sciences. So all we're trying to do is marry some of the issues that we're facing in agriculture with some of the learning that's been developed in other sectors and indeed agriculture in other countries. The way we see this is very much another tool to help the industry and to help the next generation of farmers develop businesses that are strong, that are sustainable, and that when the graduates leave the incubator scheme, they have a proven track record, that they go into the marketplace with a good business record, and they'll be able to prove their entrepreneurial spirit, they'll be able to prove that they've been able to innovate, to tackle some of the challenges and overcome them and run a successful business. And I think that makes that generation of potential new entrants much, much stronger and really helps the industry move forward in the coming decades.
James McKissick-Leach of the Scottish Land Commission. You can see the logic behind that.
Yeah, but you're also, this isn't a negative, the it's a new generation of technique-savvy people. Very, very different from the previous couple of generations. You know, right on the business case, right up with the technology and really embracing it rather than... There has been a tendency in the past that their interest in the business stopped at the farm gate once the animals were away, but you got a real sense of energy, speaking to a lot of folk at college, that, you know, there's really different ways of doing stuff.
Well, coming up, have a listen later on, because I spoke to a woman called Hannah, also known as the Red Shepherdess, and she is one of the most social media savvy people I've ever met in my life. I mean, she's just constantly, she sees the importance of communication to farming, which is interesting. Now, Stephen Thompson is a familiar voice in this programme in his role as an agricultural economist with Scotland's Rural College. Stephen was one of the speakers at the gathering, and I asked him if, really, all things considered, is this the best time to be getting into farming, given all the uncertainties?
It's probably a better time to be getting into it than actually being in it, simply because with Brexit, with the new trade deals, with biodiversity challenges, with climate change challenges, these things bring an awful lot of disruption to your current workplace. And whenever there's disruption, it provides opportunities for new entrants to actually get a foothold, look at things differently, take on new challenges that incumbents sometimes are resistant to. So whilst it's uncertain, it's probably as good a time for somebody to enter into the market.
So although it is absolutely the balls up in the slates, it's fertile ground. There are possibilities there.
I would say there are, but there'd be possibilities for doing things differently. So
can't be more of the same.
No, I don't think so. It could be some of the same, but doing it better or doing it different, wiser, smarter, more efficiently, reducing carbon emissions. Or it could be that you'll get paid or supported in order to sequester carbon, in order to deliver for biodiversity, developing new products. There's a whole host of opportunities out here because the model of funding will change. And we know that one of the biggest barriers to entry for the last 30, 40 years has been CAP monies going to incumbents. And we never want to change that system. So the mantra in policy terms has been maximising winners, minimising losers. You understand that because politicians, it's about votes at the end of the day. Whereas now there seems to be a sharp realisation that we actually have to start delivering outcomes, and those outcomes are related to biodiversity, those outcomes are related to jobs, those outcomes are related to climate change ambitions. So the model is changing, and the messages we're hearing from policy is that there will be significant changes to the way we see payments distributed. And that will mean whenever you get disruption, some people will leave the industry. That provides opportunities for new entrants.
Stephen Thompson there, agricultural economist from Scotland's Rural College. A whole range of speakers were present, including one whose background really couldn't be any further from farming.
Yes, so my name's Hannah Jackson, the Red Shepherdess. I am a contract shepherdess and I've got my own small holding up in Cumbria. Yeah, and I basically run around after sheep all day. From a towny background originally, grew up on the Wirral. I came to Cumbria to farm 5-6 years ago. And yeah, as of yesterday, I was lambing 950 sheep in Hereford. So a bit of a change of scenery up here.
How were you received by the farming community if you didn't have a farming background? You're saying, well, I'm here, I'm a contract shepherdess.
Yeah, I mean, it was really hard. I had a load of different factors in my way. I was a scouser, I had red hair, I was a female. I'd never been near a commercial farm before. And all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a farmer. So I think it took a long time to kind of prove myself to the industry. I think I was a little bit naive at first. I think I was just going to stroll on in and it would just be accepted. So yeah, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of stubborn mindedness. But I think once you kind of break into the industry and you gain respect of some people, it's like a snowball effect. Then people start to actually say, oh, actually she is here for the long term and she's going to make a thing of it. So
somebody who's listening to this and, you know, and they're trying to break into farming, what would your advice be?
I think the best thing is to network, knock on doors, look for opportunities and just wait for opportunities to come to you and try and apply for anything. There's all sorts of different things you can apply for within the industry and take to social media because it opens up a whole load of doors. It gives you links to farmers all over the country and the world. So, yeah, network.
So I watched you just walk in the gate there here, you know, at the racecourse at Perth, mm-hmm. and you are on social media. And basically, you're saying, I'm here, this is what I'm doing. It's constantly telling that story.
Yeah, exactly. It's giving people a glimpse into your life every single day. And so they can see actually what it takes to be a farmer, what we do to care for our animals every day. And it also gives people who are inspiring to be in the industry a little glimpse of how you get in as well. So, yeah, it's like a full-time job alongside the farming, but it's worth doing.
My name is Duncan McConkie, and I am the owner of Lagan Outdoor Activity Centre and GG's Yard.
One of the reasons I wanted to speak to you particularly, Duncan, is the farm you have is tiny.
Yeah, I came home and expected to be gifted, 1,000 acres, and I was offered 5 acres of rather rough grazing land, and that's quite difficult to sustain a family on that. So we had to think out the box. We had no money to borrow because I didn't own the assets to borrow against them. So, yeah, we started small, but it was a necessity. It was a need and a desire to live in the rural life. So we started small and grew our business from there.
What all do you do on those 5 acres nowadays?
Well, it's still 5 acres, but we employ 80 people. And
80,
yeah. And we've built a rural destination of excellence. So 3 years ago, we built a wedding venue and we launched that called Gigi's Yard in honour of my granny who's still there, our kid's great-granny. She's 101. And that has become the monster that the whole of our business has started to feed. We have 93 weddings booked for this year. We've had to build accommodation on site. Then we didn't have enough accommodation, so we built more. Our cafe wasn't good enough, so we're now upgrading it and building a brand new restaurant bistro on our hillside. So while we thought the spending would be small and gentle, this monster has created the need for us to borrow against all of our assets. We went through succession and we took ownership of the land. And that has meant that we've borrowed against all of our assets to 70% worth. And we have built a business which is it's a huge economic driver for the local community.
Duncan McConkie there of Lagan Outdoor Activity Centre, and how he's turned just 5 acres, into a profitable business. And before that, we had Hannah Jackson, the Red Shepherdess.
Who's been liking our tweets already this morning, so she's on it. But the whole social media thing's quite interesting. Remember, I spoke to a lovely young couple up in the northeast 2 weeks ago. We put a path in.
Yes.
Round the farm. But they do Facebook updates every day to tell people what's going on, to demystify farming. Because if you see it going on, then you get that sensation. If you see a shepherdess up on the hill, because it's a secret world.
Yes,
shepherding.
It can be.
It's usually away from the main road. You've no idea what's going on. It can be a tough life. But it must be a really rewarding life as well.
Yeah. Well, Jenny Brunton is Policy Manager of NFU Scotland. The NFU were hosting a Next Generation group, and I asked her for her opinion on events like the new entrance gathering.
I think events like this today are a really great example to show the optimism for the future of the industry.
It's interesting, I was talking to Jenny earlier, and there's somebody obviously had just an absolute focus, knew exactly what they wanted to do, didn't care about the rest of it, let's just jump and see what happens. Is that the kind of person that's making a success of it at the moment?
Yeah, I think we see a lot of these individuals coming up who are maybe not coming through the most conventional means into farming, but they have this real drive and this real enthusiasm to make a business work. And I think that's the real key thing, is that they do see it as a business and not necessarily just a way of life. That's, obviously the kind of added benefit of that lifestyle, but they really are driving these really innovative and diverse businesses forward.
And some of it flies in the face of accepted wisdom. Somebody like Duncan from Lagan, he's got a thriving business based on 5 acres. 5 acres is nothing.
Yeah, and I think that's a real testament to, people like Duncan, but also it really shows the difficulties that people have in access to land and making these viable businesses work, that they have to look at other options, whether it's gin or tourism, and I think you will see agritourism as a real opportunity for the next generation coming forward.
Or something like agroforestry, where they're just thinking outside the box, doing it differently.
Yeah, and bringing in that, that added income that really makes your business more resilient, whether it's fluctuations in sheep or beef prices. If you have that other thing that, you can spread your income and spread the risk, it really helps.
Jenny Brunton there, Policy Manager of NFU Scotland.
There's a lot to take in.
There is a lot to take in, but what I liked about it was, it was a point that was made earlier, that Yes, I mean, this is a period of unbelievable uncertainty and change and, you know, just so many imponderables. But that disruption creates opportunity.
Yeah.
It creates a driver for people doing things in a completely different way. To paraphrase Mrs. Beaton, first catch your hare. If you're going to get into farming, first you need a farm. And sometimes getting hold of that is not the easiest thing to do. I mean, we touched on the subject of land matching last year.
Yeah, I was at a farm near Dunblane where Patrick and Jess Kempton are taking the reins over a newly established farm that belongs to Robin Young.
Now, just to explain how land matching works, how the scheme works, here's Ian Davidson of the Scottish Land Matching Service.
The Land Matching Service is a free, at the point of use service, providing independent advice to people who are trying to get on the farming ladder, matching them up with people who are maybe at the latter end of their career, looking to take a step back. Still farming, but looking to take things a bit easier.
How difficult is that to do? Because, I mean, you must need to have two completely different groups of people in your head simultaneously.
It is a very difficult job. At the moment, there's far, far more people looking for opportunities than there are offering opportunities. And that's a challenge in itself. It's about changing mindsets. It's about speaking to people and getting them even just to think about the future. Farmers, they find it difficult to change. So it's about speaking to people and getting them to say, look, there's a different way here. You've not got successors. Do you want to mentor someone young into the industry? Because the industry needs that.
What are you trying to match up? Are you trying to match up the land with the capability of the land and someone's business plans, or are you trying to match up personalities, or are you trying to match up a mixture of both?
It's a mixture of both, Mark. The big difficulty for new entrants or people getting into the industry is access to land and access to capital. So you've got people with land and probably some capital, and allowing these young people to come in with them in joint ventures, whether that's contract farming, share farming, whether it's a joint partnership, that they can build equity in a business so that it might not be that farm they stay on it all their life. They might want to move on and develop, but it shows that they can work in a business.
I look at Scottish farming at the moment. Farming anywhere in the UK, to be honest. There are so many question marks, so many imponderables, so many unknowns. Who in their right minds would want to enter farming at the moment?
You would be amazed at the number of people that are really keen to come into the industry. They're starting off, they've got 100 ewes on grass parks here, there and everywhere. You know, it's by far, I think I've got about 70 on the database already, people who are wanting that start. They want to get into the industry. And it's crucial for the industry in the long term that they do get that, because the average age of farmers has risen significantly and it's only going to get worse.
Ian Davidson there of the Scottish Land Matching Service. And thanks to everyone who took the time to speak to me at the new entrance to Farming Gathering 2020.
Did you just get a sense of optimism, to, you know, tinged with reality? But a lot of those folk, you know, your shepherdess woman, mm-hmm. the folk that want to get into farming, really positive about it, but accepting the fact they need to make a business case for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that language changes, you know, and words which once meant one thing now mean something completely different. So something like disruption, for example.
So a good thing.
Well, in a digital context, it's seen to have been a very, very good thing, because, I mean, you're doing things in a new and exciting and different way, you know. They were talking about disruption too. Because there is so much uncertainty, because there are so many imponderables, so many question marks, there is going to be folk leaving the industry, which creates gaps.
Yeah, there's going to be opportunities. And if you're listening to this worldwide, you know, I'm assuming what happened in Scotland isn't purely on its own. But if your country, you've been, or you're involved, young folk getting into farming, or how do you go about it? How do you diversify? We'd really welcome your thoughts, and you can email them to outofdoors@bbc.co.uk.
That's all we've got time for on this one. Hope you enjoyed it and found it interesting. From myself, Mark Stephen, him, Ewan McElraith, and the rest of the team here at BBC Aberdeen, thanks for downloading us, and thank you as ever for listening.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.